Hi, I'm Nancy Cohen with Global Ascension Network, and we're here at Cedar Creek in Columbia, Missouri, to have our third Quantum Shift conference. I'm very, very excited to have with us as our special guest speaker for this conference one of my favorite people in the whole earth, Justin Abraham. He is a modern-day mystic, and he's a road paver and a forerunner for the new mystical move that's about ready to hit the earth. He has a very current word from the Lord about how to step out and step up and step into our divine position in Him, which also releases the government of the kingdom of God. Since we're called to be co-workers and co-creators together with God for the establishment of His kingdom and His righteousness in all of the earth, I feel like the timing of having Justin with us is empirically important. Justin, I'm so thankful that you're with us here, and I would like to just begin by asking you the question, how did you actually start your mystical journey with the Lord, and to share with some of the people that are just beginning that journey, how the Lord affected and impacted your whole life as He opened up the mystical realms to you.
Okay, well, it's great to be here. I'm thrilled to be with Nancy. Nancy's also one of my favorite people in the world. And, you know, she's so full of love. And that's one of the things we've always been impressed about is how much she loves people. And love is the most mystical thing of all, right?
It is.
And, yeah, so good to be here. So, yeah, I was involved in the prophetic movement, but You know, you can have prophetic experiences, but you don't actually, you hear the voice, but you don't see the one that's speaking. And I think the mystic realm is about coming into the face-to-face dimension with Jesus, where I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I hear a voice, and I turn into that realm. And what happened for me was I went from the prophetic into the mystical when I got so hungry for God that my wife and I, we started soaking 3 nights a week. And then I asked my boss in work, could I take Fridays off work to pray? Now, my boss was a lovely Christian. He loved me. I worked for a bank at the time. I was a manager in insurance. And he said, yeah, sure, you can take Fridays off and we'll pay you the same amount.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because they said, as long as you're delivering results, you can take that time off. Mm-hmm. So God gave me Fridays off to spend with Him, but I didn't know how to spend time with Him. So on the first Friday, I was praying all morning, reading books, and I kind of ran out of things to do. So I was in my mum's house, and I went to her little library of Christian books. And when I was there, the presence of God just came in the room. His presence came so strongly, Nancy, that I couldn't stay awake. I couldn't stay conscious. I literally crawled onto the bed and passed out. And at the time, I didn't know that that was a biblical thing. It was only afterwards I read that God put Adam to sleep, Abraham to sleep, John felt like he was asleep, Zechariah felt like he was asleep. That when God's taking you into deep realms of His presence, sometimes He puts you to sleep. And when I woke up, there was this incredible sound of the wheels of God, the wheels of His throne, the turning wheels in the room, and this kind of banging noise and all these crazy noises. And I was like, what is going on? I fainted. God's presence, the glory, there's noises. And the Lord spoke to me at that time and said this incredible line, which fueled my prayer. He said, you're going to find me. Mm. You're going to find me. And He then said, I'm raising up a generation. And these are the words He said, that will be unstoppable. And I saw thousands and thousands of people rising. He said this interesting line. He said, if one falls, 10 will stand. Mm. And it will be a torrent that will cover the earth. And I believe that's actually where we're at right now, is we're in the beginning of that torrent that's going to cover the earth. And what happened after that was I began to pray regularly until my wife and I, we decided I'd take 3 months off from work and just give myself to prayer, give myself to engage in His presence. And that 3 months was the trigger for what we're doing right now. So it's 12 years later, and I never went back to work. They tried to get me back. They offered me a promotion, but we're just following Jesus into deeper and deeper realms of transforming creation. And that's why we're here, for quantum shifts, for us, for humanity, for creation. And I'm really excited. I'm so expectant about what's happening right now and in this generation. One of the things the Lord spoke to me, Nancy, said, we've come back into days of awe and wonder. These are not just days of healings or speaking in tongues. These are days where we're going to tremble at his goodness. Like it says in Hosea 3:5, you will tremble and remember God's goodness in the last days. So I'm excited, Nancy.
Well, one of the things that I'd really like to share with our audience is there are as many different operations or ways of operating in the mystical that each person has a very uniquely designed call from God. As a person that has been raised up as a radical seer, most of my experiences in the heavenly realms come out of open-sighted visions. But I want people to know that there are different ways of expressing the mystical and showing forth the manifestation of God's glory here on earth. So I just wanted to ask Justin to share the way that the Lord impacts him, draws him into the mystical realm, and releases the revelation from heaven to him. Because it's a little bit different than the way that I function, and they're both equally as necessary. So can you just tell everybody how you express and manifest the mystical in this realm and how that functions inside of you?
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Nancy. That's a great question. Okay, the logic for me is that he taught me to pursue his presence, that you taste his presence to see. You enjoy his presence. Now, many people want to operate in all these gifts apart from the presence. But the thing is, Scripture says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's in his presence, this fullness of joy. In him, we live. In him, we move. In him, we have our being. If I was to teach one thing, it would be practice in the presence of God. Because as we engage and learn to host his presence and rest in it and enjoy his love. Love is the greatest technology of all. It begins to open your gates. You begin to get flooded with love. So instead of trying to work on your gates, the way it happened for me was love flooded my heart and it popped my gates open. And even the presence would hit people, and it still does now, because of love. I believe the love gate, if you work on that one gateway in your life where you love him and he loves you, I'm in him. He's in me. I love I love you. You love me. Sorry, I'm getting in the spirit right now. Because what happens is you have a simple way of being in his presence. Mm. A simple way of mysticism. I'm a simple mystic. I can't think in too complicated a way. And the way that I found was if I engage his presence and learn to love him and walk with him, that he shows you things, he takes you places, and he infuses you with knowledge. So sometimes I've been in his presence, Nancy, and I learn lots of truths, but I can't tell you how I learned the truth. Mm. It was like the truth was absorbed into me by osmosis. In church history, they call it infused knowledge. Like when you put a tea bag in a cup of hot water, the water gets infused with the taste of tea. When you allow Jesus to be in you and you're in him, that happens because I'm thinking about it right now and I'm triggering union, because I think the thing that Enoch had, it says Enoch walked with God and God took him. Now that word walked with him means literally that he chose to grab God's presence and link arms. And Enoch chose, you can choose to live in God's presence, because the truth is God's presence is in you and it's around you. Isaiah chapter 6 says the whole earth is full.
Oh, no.
Full. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. So the issue is, do you see it? Because the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So what I learned was this, that he will never leave me. He will never forsake me, for he cannot deny himself. And he lives in me. So I learned to live in the sweetness of his love. And then he introduced me to Enoch. Mm. And he took me into heaven. And he started to teach me the mysteries of his presence. But you know what, Nancy? By the time he showed me those things, I was contented with his presence and his love. because that's the greatest thing we can actually have. And that is the key, I think, to true, authentic mysticism, is that people know that you've been with Jesus, you've walked with Jesus, that you carry the presence of Jesus, and in his presence is fullness of joy. You're going to get intoxicated because he's the happy God. And the new covenant is wine. It's not a list of rules. Jesus didn't come, Nancy, and bring a new covenant and say there's another addition to the Torah.
To the rules.
No.
The rules.
And I imagine, I think when he said, this is the new covenant, I imagine his disciples reaching for scrolls to write it down.
Mm.
And he reaches out, this is my body. This is my blood. Drink it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to drink him. He wants you to eat him. And that's a very simple method of prayer. You can just choose and go, Lord, I am going to... I know it's offensive. I know. But Jesus said this. He said, eat my body. And the natural mind would rather work hard. That's too simple. But the gospel is the way of children. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you cannot see. Many of us are too mature to see. We need to become like children. And children just eat the sweetness. They sit on his lap and they know that they're loved and that he loves them and he can be trusted. And as you eat his presence and taste the honey of his love, he'll expand your heart like sand on the seashore so that nothing is impossible for you. Just think about this, Nancy. In one night, Solomon went from being an ordinary guy to being the most expanded guy in his generation, with wealth, technology, even understanding biology. And he just had one dream. So that's how powerful this realm is. Don't worry about your past, how things have been up until now, because behold, he makes all things new, and he has his eye on you. And believe me, he's going to get what he wants, and he wants you. And you want him, and you are going to get there. You're going to see incredible things in your life.
When Jesus was walking the earth, many of the people responded, we've seen great and mighty things in this day. But we're living in a day where we're going to actually do the greater works than Jesus did. When he said in John 14:12, the works that I did, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do. I'm here to tell you we're living in the day of the greater works. I'm in total agreement with Justin what he says about pursuing God, because we receive from God in direct proportion to the depth of our desire. The more you hunger, the more you thirst, the more he gives himself to you. In the age of the church, it was good enough for us to do love or to give love. But if we're being conformed to his image, we must become love. That means total, complete, absolute, unconditional love for everything that he created. I want to ask Justin to share with you just maybe two or three experiences. You know, we have so many experiences that we can share as we tap into the kingdom of God, but some of those are so sovereignly initiated that they really change and rearrange our whole function, our level of functionality. They bring us into the higher works that the Lord's called us to do. So I would like Justin to just share with us two or three of those experiences that were life-shifting for you and for your ministry.
Thank you, Nancy. Well, I just want to say before I do that, that God will work in very different ways with all of us, and he knows exactly how he wants to do it with you. One of the most significant experiences I've ever had, Nancy, was when I met Enoch. Meeting Enoch was one of the greatest honors that the Lord's ever given me. But it came in the time of the most profound brokenness in my life. We resigned from the ministry we'd been in. And due to misunderstanding, we'd been rejected by a lot of the people we loved. And I was in a time of profound brokenness and pain. But I said to the Lord, when I was praying, I said, Lord, this is when heaven has to become real. I'm isolated, I'm broken. I was taking my pain into heaven, giving it to him for more of his face. But I said, Lord, I really need the cloud of witnesses to become real to me. I need heaven. So I was flying to a youth conference in France, and I was on my own for the first time in many, many years traveling, because I used to take teams. Are you happy for me to say it in its fullest form?
Yes,
it will be.
Go.
I warn you, this will be hard for you to even accept, but I give you permission to reject what I'm about to say, but it's the authentic truth from my perspective, is that there was an empty seat next to me, and I was just enjoying God's presence for half an hour, loving on him, resting in him, and suddenly I went into a trance. And as I turned, a man walked down the plane, a young Jewish man, and he sat next to me, in the seat next to me, and it was the Holy Spirit appearing to me as the one who comforts, the one who comes alongside. The paraclete literally means the one who comes alongside. And he sat next to me and began to teach me about angels and the nations and scrolls. But the amazing thing was, I couldn't retain the knowledge. It was like it was going into me, but would fade quickly. But scriptures references would come into me at the same time. Like everything he said had a scriptural reference. This went on for a while, I'm not sure how. And then it changed, and I knew something phenomenal was about to happen. And what happened was this. He said to me, and I knew he was restoring me. I knew he was loving on me. He said, "Justin, would you like to go to heaven?" And that's how kind the Lord is. You know, love is kind. And I said in my heart, yes. And before I knew what had happened, boom, Nancy, I wasn't on the aeroplane. I was in bright white light, nothing but light. Amazed and astonished. I went into astonishment. And out of this bright light came this man that was so beautiful to look at. His eyes were like emerald sapphires, like tropical seas, full of the ages, full of looking at Yod Heh Vav Heh, full of love. He smiled and his face was so warm. His teeth and everything looked lovely. He had a lovely trimmed kind of beard, grayish white, lovely face. I felt so much affirmation and love from him. He reminded me of this prophet called John Paul Jackson, who's with the Lord now. And I thought, this must be King David. I thought, surely this is David. I don't know why I thought that. And he said, "My name's Enoch." And it was just so overwhelming, the love. I couldn't even speak. I couldn't move. And he said, "I want to show you something." And he went like that. He moved his hand. And as he did that, the light went backwards, and I saw a vast area with these tables made of stone, and on these tables were scrolls, books of destiny, spread out, and angels and people looking at the books. And he said this amazing thing, Nancy. He said, "These are the future acts of mankind." And he said, from the beginning of time, I understood them fully. When he said the word fully, it was like, fully. And I was overwhelmed that he had such an expanded heart that he understood all the acts of mankind throughout history fully. After this encounter, I later found it was in the Ethiopic Book of Enoch. There is a passage there that matched what he took me into, that he understood the future acts of mankind. So I was overwhelmed by that. And he said this amazing line, and he said, "And you're in these books." And I realized when he said that, he meant us. That somehow he knew about our times. And we're written in those books. This is written in the books of heaven, the future acts of mankind. The incredible thing was, after this happened, it closed up and it was just me and Enoch again. And I'm in such a state of astonishment, frozen. And he said this incredible thing. He said, "I would like to give you the testimony of the glory on my life." And he took this wine out of his being.
Beautiful.
And he gave me, wow, he gave me a bottle of wine, and I took the wine in my hand. I was able to move, and as I drank it, I smelled oak, and it was this rich, rich oak wine. And then in my body, I then became aware of my body again on the aeroplane for the first time. I could taste it, Nancy. I could actually taste the oak. And as I swallowed it in my body, I could feel it go through all my body. And I could feel, wow. I could feel it going into my bones, into my blood, into all that I am. And I knew that I drank a verse that we will be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor, that he will rebuild ruined cities, the desolation of generations. I had literally drank some of Isaiah's scroll, and I was shown this incredible mystery, this for now, that we are in the day of fulfilling Isaiah's scroll, and that all of heaven is working towards this, where the earth will be transformed, humanity will be transformed. And I was shown a profound mystery. This is shocking. Are you ready? I was shown that the desolation of generations that will be repaired is the DNA of human beings. The literal human body will be freed from shock, trauma, sickness, disease, and all these structures that are opposing the redemption of the body. Mm. And I was shown that as Enoch has been transformed, there is a generation on the earth today where their physical bodies are going to be changed. And then I found myself back on the plane, amazed, astonished. And I was processing it for many, many months. In fact, when I went to pray after this experience, I'd go to wait on the Lord, and I found I'd go back into the wine, and I'd be seeing technology, people rebuilding cities, landscapers, architects. I saw that we were creating a brand new world, and that led me into producing the podcasts, and then the podcast spread, and here we are, all these years later, and people all around the world are engaging these same dimensions. I know that was a long story. I hope that wasn't too long.
No, actually, I want to confirm that story because I had a very similar experience. I had a ministry in Washington, D.C., and we had a very long meeting there. And I got to the airport only in time for them to shut the door. And because I'm a million-mile traveler, they had upgraded my seat to first class. And I have many, many first-class upgrades, but I give them away because I find that I have more divine appointments when I'm sitting in economy. Right before I left, there was a messianic prophet who prophesied over me that I was going to have a divine appointment as my seatmate on my plane home that day. When I got to the airport and she handed me a first-class ticket, I said, "I'm sorry, but I'd really rather keep my ticket in economy." And she goes, "Ma'am, the doors are closing. You need to get on the plane right now." So I got on the plane and there was no seatmate. And I thought, oh, I knew it. I missed my divine appointment. And I got up and I walked down the aisle to see if I could sit in my old seat, but they'd given my old seat away when they upgraded me to first class. So being full of disappointment, I walked back and sat in seat 1A, thinking to myself, man, I missed my divine appointment, and it was back in economy. Anyway, as I was sitting there, the stewardess came. She was a very short-haired, freckle-faced, cute little stewardess. And she brought a tray, and on it was wine and bread and nuts and honey. And I looked at her and I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, this isn't mine. I didn't order this." And she looked at me and she went, "Stop." And then she winked and she set the tray down on my table. I turned around and I looked to see, because I figured somebody else who ordered a tray didn't get a tray, and I got a tray. And at that time, I had not had a drink of alcohol for 25 years, so I was disturbed that this tray had bread and wine on it. But I looked around and nobody was lacking a tray, so I thought, oh, that's really weird. So I laid my head down on the fuselage to rest, because we'd had very extended meetings in Washington, D.C. All of a sudden, I felt this blast of breath hit my cheek. And I turned around and I looked, and nobody was there. And I thought, that is very strange. So I laid my head back down again. And again, a second time, this massive blast of breath hit my cheek. And I looked up, and I'm looking around trying to figure out, where is this breath coming from? Because it was stronger than the first time. I laid my head back down again. And the third time, this breath hit my cheek, and it was hot, and I could feel the heat. And I jumped up, and I turned around, and there was the Lord Jesus Christ sitting in the seat next to me. I was so dumbfounded, I broke into tears, and I said, "Lord, what are you doing here?" And he said, "I came to serve you communion." Now, when he shared the story that he did, a lot of people would say, oh, that is just really way too weird. He must have been in some kind of a dream state. But I'm here to tell you that when the Lord came to serve me communion, he unraveled a whole lot of religious stuff that was in me concerning communion. I was reduced into just nothing but weeping and tears, and I'm like sobbing uncontrollably because here's the Lord Jesus Christ coming to teach me about communion. The people that were sitting across the aisle were looking at me and they said, "Lady, are you okay? Is everything all right? Do we need to get you help?" And I'm going, no, I'm fine, because, of course, I was in a totally different dimension and they couldn't see Jesus sitting in the seat next to me. He came to serve me communion, and there's a whole story that goes with that. But by the time we were finished, I jumped up and I went to the stewardess, and I said to the stewardess, "Can you show me where is that short, red-haired, freckle-faced stewardess that served me that wine and bread?" And she goes, "Lady, we don't have any short, red-haired, freckle-faced stewardess on this flight." And I said, "Oh, yes, she came to set down this tray." And she goes, "Well, you can look all you want, but every stewardess on this plane has long blonde hair, and there's no short, red, freckle-faced stewardess here." I went and I sat back down on my chair and began to absorb everything that had happened to me. And because I was sitting in seat 1A, when the plane landed, I could be the first person off of the plane. And I was standing there with the stewardess as she opened the door to the jetway. And on the other side of the open door was the short, red-headed, freckle-faced stewardess. And she looked at me and she just winked like that, turned around, walked out of the jetway, and disappeared about halfway down the jetway. These are things that happen because she was an angelic being who came. Many of us entertain angels without even knowing it. And she came to prepare me and to help break away a lot of my religious mindsets about what was the importance of communion. When the Lord comes to deliver a message like that, and I want to tell you how ingrained my religious thought processes were, because the Lord had told me 25 years earlier, don't drink, because I was probably on the verge of becoming an alcoholic. So for 25 years, I hadn't had a drop to drink. And when the stewardess set down that wine, I was upset because she put that wine on my plate. And when the Lord actually appeared in the seat next to me and he broke the body, gave me the body, and he handed me the wine, I thought to myself, I haven't had a drink in 25 years. I'm sorry, I don't drink. And the Lord looked at me and laughed and he said, "So what you're saying is what's good enough for me is not good enough for you?" And that broke away from me a religious tradition, because what the Lord says in one age of your life may be completely undone as you enter into the next stage of your life. I have many, many stories like that that show how the Lord shifts and changes and rearranges the level of our receptivity and the level of our functionality as we grow in maturity with Him. I want to ask Justin to share with us one more experience. I'm just ratifying what he said, that what he said is totally true. It happened to me, and it's happened to many of my friends, too. So if you're listening and you think that's a far-out story, it's because the Lord is releasing the technology to you of how you're going to begin to function futuristically. I want to ask Justin now to just share with us one more, because I know that when you learn to ascend or to live an ascended life, there are many, many things that can be released. But when there's a sovereign move of God intended to bring you into a higher level of functionality, I just want you to share a secondary experience so that people can understand where they're going.
Great. This is an interesting one, Nancy. You were there when this happened. Do you remember we were in Melbourne, Australia, and it was very windy?
Yes, yes.
I want to tell you what happened, because I'm not sure you know what happened to me during that time. But we went to pick you up, and you were staying at the hotel, and you prayed for some women in the elevator. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
And the glory fell on them. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
While I was sitting in the car, I saw an angel, but in a very faint vision.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I want to say to you, is that some of the most powerful encounters you'll ever have start with the most gentle introduction. And the Lord will test you on how much you honor it.
Mm.
Because He is speaking to you. He is visiting you. But are you seeing it? Because I had a gentle flash of this angel and these other angels. And then you got in the car and I decided I'd turn into that. And I remember you were talking in the car and I couldn't hear you speak anymore. Do you remember when we opened the car doors?
Yes,
I fell out.
I do remember that.
I went into a rapture basically in the spirit where I was caught up. And when we opened the door, I didn't know where we were. This is very unusual for me. I fell out of the car door and started travailing. And do you remember you guys helped me get up into the lobby and you jumped on me?
I did. I remember.
And you were hitting me and everything else. And I saw this angel. And this angel was an archangel, I believe. And whilst you were talking in the meeting, I was seeing hundreds of angels in white, but one angel that was different. He had like a blue robes, and he had like long hair, and he kind of looked like Thor in the Marvel movies, but, you know, obviously different from that, but blue. And I was amazed and astonished at this angel. Now, I don't think I got the chance to tell you what happened, but the winds, you know, there was winds blowing everywhere, and they had winds outside, and the wind was coming in the room, wasn't it?
Do you remember?
It was going, woo-hoo! It was the funniest meeting, wasn't it?
It was.
Because the winds were blowing stronger than I've seen. In fact, it was the first time that Melbourne got hit by a tornado. A small tornado came. Anyway, that night in my hotel, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, I went into the spirit in my dream, and I saw a group of us were journeying into a new era. But we got blamed for a civil war in the church. But in the dream, we just kept walking. And as the dream went full circle, we came back and we found everyone was unified. And they said to me this incredible thing. They said, what looked like the beginning of division was the beginning of reunification. Reunification. And I saw that the body is going to come back together in a phenomenal way. As long as we keep walking, as long as we keep pursuing where Jesus is taking us, he is going to unify his body. And they may blame us right now. They may say we caused a division, we caused a ruckus, but we're not. We're just following Jesus. And ultimately, he's going to unify the church. So that's a cool dream. But this is what happened. I woke up out of my dream at 4 o'clock in the morning, and there in my room is this angel. Zadkiel, it turned out his name is.
Zadkiel.
And he's one of the angels of kindness. He's the archangel of kindness. They believe he's the angel that stopped Abraham stabbing Isaac. That he's the angel of kindness and honor and life. And he's in the room and the walls are shaking, Nancy. And he said, I've come with the winds of change. Whoa.
What?
Wow. And he was there and he took me up into heaven. And we went into a court case where I was shown in this generation, God's judging the throne of pride, the seat of pride, where we judge one another, where we demean one another. And he's removing it and he's establishing the seat of love, the government of love. And those who walk in love and mercy and grace are going to be highly esteemed in this generation and honored. Those who walk in judgment are going to diminish until they relocate themselves to where they should have already been. I woke up in the room and the walls are still shaking from the angel and the winds are going up and up from the winds of change. And I looked on the app and every hour the winds got stronger until they went to 110 kilometers an hour. The news said, I've got the newspaper clip-ins on my computer, the images, 36,000 homes lost their power and there were 7 meter swells in the bay. Nobody got hurt, but I believe it was a massive sign and a wonder, and I think we need to look at the signs. You know, some of these encounters have got massive impact, global impact, and I feel in this day the winds of change have already been released, and a new era is already here, and we need to respond to that. The funny thing was, the next day, I was going to have to fly home, and I was thinking, how am I going to fly home with 110 kilometer winds? And literally, the next day after this, the winds just stopped and the weather was back to normal. It was a profound miracle, Nancy. It was phenomenal. So we're in the time of the winds of change. So I think, you know, the lesson from this is, did we choose to love? Because we're going to be given many opportunities to be misunderstood. Mm-hmm. I have a theory that we may be misunderstood at times. But will we love? And what kind of people will we be when we face trials of many kinds? Because I believe what the Lord's saying is, keep walking. Keep walking with me, and you'll see these things fulfilled.
I love the notion of keep on walking, because controversy does come. And any time there's a new move of God initiated in the earth, the greatest opposition to the new move of God is always the old move of God. And you can actually historically prove, even back in the beginning of the church, that every time there was a new move of God taking place in the earth, the greatest opposition to come and destroy that was the old move of God. One of the passages that the Lord gives me out of the scripture that deals with what's happening at this present moment is out of Revelation chapter 13, where John says, I, John, was caught up to see a great wonder in the heaven. A woman who was dressed in the sun. She was crowned with a crown of 12 stars, and under her feet she had put the moon. She was driven into the wilderness to travail a great travail to bring forth the man child. I saw another wonder in the heaven, that old great red dragon who came down from the heaven to devour the child before it could be born in the earth. But Michael and all the angels came and they prevailed against that old red dragon and cast it down. And I want you to notice what happened then was the woman who bore the man-child was driven into the wilderness to a place prepared there for her by the Lord. But the man-child was caught up to God in his throne. That represents us coming into the full-grown man-child so that we can be divinely positioned in the throne, which represents his bestowing upon us the fullness of our inheritance in rulership and governance. I really believe that that old red dragon, though he does have many different names, represents for this present moment the move of religion. That religion comes down to try and devour the full-grown man-child before it can be born in the earth. But the truth is, it's too late. The man-child has already been birthed. We're sitting here right now receiving revelation that's going to bring us up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ Jesus. The Word says that the Son, that's us, though he is the heir of all things, we are the heir of all things, is still subject to teachers and tutors and guides that are put over him until he grows up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, at which time the Father grants to him the fullness of his inheritance. What is the fullness of our inheritance? We've been operating in a very low functional stage because we've been at a very immature place. But as we continue to grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, which is to become the express representation of his nature in the earth, and his nature is love. As we become what he is, which is love, all of these things will begin to pass away and everything will become new. Right now, if you're listening to this message, you're one of those that's called to unify together with the one new man, which has already been birthed into the earth, and nothing can stop it. And I want you to notice that the Word says that that full-grown man is caught up to God in his throne. If you're called and anointed and appointed of God to be a member of this new move in God, the Lord is divinely repositioning you that you can sit in the place to govern everything that he himself has created. What is the fullness of our inheritance? Jesus tells us what our inheritance is. All rule, all reign, all power, all authority was given to me in heaven and in earth by my Father, and that which he gave me, I now give you. That's a present word, because in the realms of the Spirit, there's no such thing as time or space or distance. Therefore, the fullness of our inheritance is all rule, all reign, all power, all authority, as we take our position in his throne, exalted to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, joint heirs to the kingdom of heaven. That means everything that he created, we are joint heirs with him in. What else is a part of our inheritance? A part of our inheritance, Jesus said, all things that were ever created, those things that are on the earth, under the earth, over the earth, in the sky, in the sea, all things that were ever created were commended into my hand by my Father. That means a part of our inheritance is all things that were ever created. I really want to confirm what he said about the winds of change, because we're living in a day of great, great change, and we are going to overcome all of the opposition. When you're divinely seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, nothing else can touch you. And when you entwine with Him and seek divine union with His nature, everything that you have will be met. Every need that you have for physical healing, mental healing, finances, physical rejuvenation, all of those things are found in Him. And we want to really invite you to come and hear these words, because these words produce life. The final closing statement that I'd like to make is, many of those that are in opposition to the new move of God are going to come to a place of understanding that one of the primary pillars in advancing in the kingdom is called the pillar of honor. That we need to begin to give one another honor for the individual, uniquely configured designs that the Lord has called us to walk in. That rather than looking at one another's differences, we can see how each one of those revelatory functions that the Lord is calling us to operate in and serve to benefit the whole. Because none of us has the entire picture. Part of the body of Christ means that we all provide and produce the thing that He's manifested in our own scrolls and in the things that are written down in heaven for us to perform. Those are very uniquely configured for individuals. Your walk may be totally different than mine. It may be totally different than Justin's. But trust the Lord that if you're called into this new move of God, the operation to bring you into higher levels of functionality is already inside of you. You have everything inside of you already that you have need of. You only need to practice, practice, practice. Practice the presence of the Most High Son of God so that you can become all that He created you to be, which is a divine reflection of His glory. We're called to be the reflection of His glory, and we're called in this age to come into perfection. That means we have to set aside all of the first principles that we have been operating in for the last 2,000 years of the church and come up to perfection. That's Hebrews chapter 11. Go and look it up for yourself. That it's time for us to now set aside the first principles of God. The first principles being repentance of dead works, the baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, faith towards God, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. The word says, set these things aside now and come up to perfection. One of the greatest travesties leveled against the body is the teaching that we cannot be perfect. But the truth of the matter is, we're coming into an age called the age of perfection. And the way to get there is to come up so that we can see from the heavens downward rather than from the earth upward. I really appreciate your testimonies because they really bear witness with me as examples of things out of my own life. And I feel like they're touching and penetrating many people that are now seeking that deeper level of union with the divine nature. So I'm going to just ask Justin one more time to just share one more experience with us. And I want you to remember that your experience may be different than his experience, but they're all equally necessary for us to come into union as one body, with one mind, with one spirit, knowing that Jesus is in us and we're in him. So, Justin, just share another experience
with us. Thanks, Nancy. I just wanted to mention briefly a time that I had where lights visibly came into our house. Angelic lights. You know, it says he's the father of lights and we are children of light. Arise and shine. Light is an important thing about heaven. And there's an interesting verse where it says there were many lights in the room when Paul was speaking. And I know John Paul Jackson and many others interpret that they were actually angelic lights. And in some revivals in history, lights would actually fly, like in Wales and the Hebrides, fly over the houses, down the chimneys. People would get saved. And in the Hebridean revival, they knew when it was time to go to church by the lights flying across the sky. Mm-hmm. And they would follow the lights to the church. So I've been reading about all these stories, and I just want to teach you something briefly, which is the way that you open up anything in the kingdom realm, whether it's seen angels or heavenly lights, is through value, honor, and desire. So what I started to do was I just started to say, Lord, angels come to my house. We want angels, Lord. And I'd read a book by Gary Oates called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. And it was about how his life had been changed by God opening his eyes to see angels. So I was walking around with my friend and, you know, we've been praying into angels come in. And we sat down and, you know, I saw something strange in the room. I was looking at my friend and this, I saw like a wisp of cloud. And the presence was really thick. And I turned the light on to see what was going on. And there was a cloud in the room.
Oh, that's awesome.
But this is the funny thing, Nancy. And this was a wonderful experience. And I believe you too can have these kind of experiences. As I sat down in the presence of the Lord, and I was thinking about what's going on, behind me, a ball of light shot out. And it actually hit the lamp in the middle of the room. Mm. And I jumped out of my skin. I was like, whoa! And I burst into tears. I turned to my friend and I said, God's really visiting us tonight. Which was the understatement of the year. And over the next 2 hours, myself and my friend, we got to watch God put on a light show in the living room. We saw tiny lights that would shine and release a trail of light. We saw big lights that would appear and disappear. We saw squares of gold and silver fall gently from the sky and then disappear. I remember watching one fall all the way down to the floor, and then the moment it touched the carpet, it vanished. And for 2 hours, we were just caught up in awe and wonder as the heavenly lights came. So I just want to encourage you that I believe we're in the day where God's blurring the boundary between heaven and earth, where we can't tell, is it a vision? Am I in my body? Am I out of my body? Am I in the spirit? Is this a thing really here or is it not here? And the reality is, yes. Yes to all of these things, because you are in your body, out of your body. You're in the spirit, in the natural. You are seeing. It is happening. And I feel like one of the things we prayed, Nancy, and I'm so excited about this. We've prayed for 2,000 years. Let it be on earth.
As it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven. Mm. And we have no idea just how real that is going to become when we literally see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So get ready, because you've been born for such a time as this. You've been born in the era of the great unveiling of the goodness of the Lord. And that means you are highly esteemed and favored. And you are going to walk with angels. You're going to walk with him in glory, because he's chosen to make you glorious. So arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And nations, wow, nations will come to the brightness of your rising. I feel, Nancy, if it's okay, I'm getting a word of knowledge right now. Mm-hmm. I feel there's someone watching this, and you're in the Middle East, and you're in the Islamic nations. The Lord says, I've heard your cry, and I'm coming to you in a powerful way. Nancy's had many experiences in that region of the world, but I just feel like God's heard you. Get ready for his presence to envelop you. Get ready for many to come to you, even in secret. And you're going to have very profound encounters with the Lord and the angels. His protection is around you. He's going to give you wisdom on how to walk in hiddenness and know when to be revealed, hidden and revealed. But God's saying, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Thanks, Nancy.
One of the most amazing experiences that I had was the Lord sent me to the seven mountains of Scripture and told me to prophesy to the continents. As I was on Mount Sinai, the word of the Lord came that the greatest revival in the history of humanity was going to spring straight out of the seats of Satan. For the corporate Son of Man was binding the strong men that God might come and restore the entire earth. That the places of greatest darkness and deepest wickedness and grossest depravity would become the linchpins of light from which the revival will spread, that it was going to begin in Islam because God was keeping some promises to the sons of Ishmael. That word went up on satellite and was broadcast into over 180 nations. And obviously it caused a whole lot of problems for me in the ministry, because many people that were in high-ranking leadership got very angry that I would say that the greatest revival was going to spring out of the seats of Satan. How dare you say that it's going to spring out of the seats of Satan? And I said, well, first off, I didn't say it. God said it. So you want to argue? Go argue with him. Second off, they were very angry that I would say that it would spring up in the midst of Islam, because at that time, things were really radically pulling against Islam, especially in the United States. And I said, God is a covenant-keeping God. If you want to see what he's going to do amongst the Islamic people, go and read the covenantal agreements that he made with Ishmael when he was cast out of the camp. There are some covenants that God made with those people, and he is a covenant-keeping God. And at the present moment, Muslims all over the earth are having personal, epiphanous appearances of Jesus Christ in their homes, in their mosques, and in many of their places of meeting. He's radically bringing transformation right now amongst the Islamic people. And I've been to every Islamic nation in the world except two. And the only reason I haven't been there is because I'm blackballed from coming in. But whatever door the Lord opens, no man will shut. And I'm believing I'll have an opportunity and an open door into those two nations. I want to really encourage you all. One of the things that we are really greatly expectant of is a dynamic shift. In order for us to enter into the new move of God, we must have some mindsets realigned with the purposes of God. And one of the people that can do that better than anybody I know is Justin Abraham. He does it through the joy. He does it through the love of God. He does it by being an open manifestation of the bliss that the Lord desires for us to walk in. We believe that you're called to be a participant with us in that. And we'll look forward to seeing you there. God bless you and have a good day.